according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there's another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John. He testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that my Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father has sent me, that the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice, nor seen his form. You do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life. I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you'd have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Continue today this dialogue that Jesus is having in the temple area with many of the Jewish leaders who were persecuting him because they believed that God took a day off every week from loving his children. And that if Jesus cured on the Sabbath, then he couldn't have been doing it by God's power. In fact, he was sinning by acts of charity on the Sabbath, and he had to be working under some other agency. In other parts of the gospel, they who had hardened their hearts to accept anything that Jesus was doing could have been coming from God, had accused him of casting out devils by the power of the devil. And they were thinking that by whatever power he had worked that miracle of curing that man who had been crippled for 38 years, for whom they didn't give a hoot, rather than rejoice with him when he walked for the first time in 38 years, they nitpicked about his carrying his mat. Jesus, just like Moses in today's first reading, pleaded for God's mercy on the people Moses was leading through the desert. So Jesus, out of that mercy, was trying to call these Jews to conversion. He wasn't just trying to win an argument. He wasn't just trying to give 5 footnotes to his authority. He was trying to call them to accept his own love for them, which was the same love that he had for the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. In order to describe what his authority was for doing his works, Jesus cited 5 witnesses. It's very important for us as we live this Lenten season to ask ourselves how seriously we take all 5 of these witnesses. Not only do they ground Jesus' work, but they are diving boards into deeper faith. First witness Jesus describes is John the Baptist, whom he said testified to the truth, who was a burning and shining lamp. We know that John the Baptist prepared people for the Messiah. Everybody from Jerusalem was going down, and that wasn't an easy journey. It's about 20 miles downhill, seriously downhill, into the desert, where he's baptizing by the Jordan. But they came out in droves. They were wondering if he was the prophet. We'll return to that in a second. But John was preparing the way for another, making straight the paths for the one whose sandals he was unfit to unloosen. And when that one finally arrived, he pointed him out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and encouraged his own disciples to follow Jesus to see where he was staying. John is that first witness. Just like he leads us in Advent, he leads us in Lent to the type of conversion necessary in order to accept Jesus on his own terms and allow Jesus to do his holy work within. Second great witness, Jesus says, stronger than John's, the works the Father gave him to do. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, Jesus said, these works that I perform testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. The works, St. John said, were signs. There were various miracles and miracle workers at the time of Jesus. God was allowing prayers to be heard regularly. St. John didn't refer to the miracles as miracles. He always referred to them as signs because they were pointing to something else. Jesus' words to calm the storm were a sign of the authority of his words. Jesus' performative language, daughter, your sins are forgiven, etc., were meant to communicate the same type of metamorphosis that occurred when, through that word, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, let there be light. Jesus' works are signs pointing to his authority. And we need to consider his works, the works that he continues to carry out in calling us, in calling future waves of priests and future waves of sisters of life and religious, the works that he continues to do in the world, the faith of the martyrs, the strength of those suffering in persecution, the extraordinary works of charity made in the name of Jesus, the incredible works that the world never documents on front pages of love that happen in so many homes. Those works testify to the love of the Lord. How often are we grateful for those works, and do we allow the Lord to lead us through them to the far greater work of faith that he seeks to accomplish in us? The third witness, Jesus says, is sacred scripture. He says, you search the scriptures because you think they have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. There are 1,000 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus, as he was saying these words, was checking every single one of them off. They were all testifying to the Lord Jesus, but they didn't want to believe. It's like in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, which we heard earlier this Lenten season. The rich man said, send Lazarus home to my brothers so that they don't come to this place of torment. And Abraham in the parable says, they have Moses and the scriptures, Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead, then they'll listen. And as Abraham said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to someone who was risen from the dead. They weren't listening to the Lord Jesus even before his resurrection, because they really weren't listening to the scriptures. They thought that the scriptures had been figured out, that they knew what they contained. But no, they had boxed in sacred scripture within the context of their hermeneutics, their interpretive schemes. they weren't allowing the power of Scripture to set them free. What about us? How powerful are the Scriptures for us? When we read the Scriptures, do we see them all relating to Jesus, testifying to Him? The Old Testament is predicting Him in so many ways that they contain the new. And that the New Testament, beyond the Gospels, the letters of St. Paul, the Acts of the Apostles, the letters of the other apostles, the Book of Revelation, letter of the Hebrews, all of these take the fact of the encounter with Christ and explicitate it in action, in time. The Scriptures all testify to Jesus, which is why St. Jerome will say, ignorance of Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. Lenten season is always an opportunity for us to ground our life evermore on the rock of the Lord's Word. The fourth witness is Moses. Jesus says, don't think I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. Because if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. He literally did. Deuteronomy 18:15 said, another one will come just like me. Follow him. That's what the Pharisees were citing when they went down to St. John at the Jordan and said, are you the prophet? Not just one in a long line, but the one prophesied by Moses who would be the Messiah, as the Jews had always understood. Jesus was constantly fulfilling everything of Moses. Just like Moses went up to the mountain, came down with the Ten Commandments, so Jesus went up and preached the Sermon on the Mount, the fulfillment of the Mosaic Law. Just as Moses led the Jews from slavery through the Red Sea, through the desert to the Promised Land, so Jesus, the new Moses, was leading us from the slavery of sin, through the waters of baptism, through the desert of life, to the land flowing in far more than milk and honey. Just like Moses intervened to save the life of his people, so Jesus on the cross would plead with the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Moses testified to Jesus. The whole Old Testament testifies to Jesus. Seeing how Jesus fulfills the work of Moses helps us to understand far more about Moses and way more about Jesus. And the last witness is the greatest of them all, the Father himself. The Father who sent me testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you don't have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. Because they were rejecting him, they were rejecting the Father, and the Father's witness. Father had witnessed to the Lord in all of the ways that we've already talked. He was the one who called John to make straight the paths. He is the one who was working through all of Jesus' miracles. He is the one who sent the Holy Spirit to inspire the sacred authors and sacred scripture. He is the one who called Moses from the burning bush, said, I am who am, and I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Father was working through all of this, indirectly, we could say. But the Father was giving testimony to Jesus quite explicitly as well. Jesus' baptism, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. The Transfiguration, this is my Son, my beloved, listen to him. He would testify anew at the Last Supper. Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And God the Father responded, I have glorified and I will glorify it again. Perhaps most powerfully on Calvary, when Jesus cried out to the Father responded 40 hours later, raising him from the dead. The Father testifies to Jesus, but we have to accept and base our life on that testimony, not just in the sense that we do not reject it. We don't reject it, but making it ever more a part of our life. All five of these witnesses are supposed to conduce to a sixth, you and me. When we base our lives on this fivefold testimony, we are called to become witnesses so that others in seeing us see signs that point to the credibility of Jesus. Jesus himself made this clear during the Last Supper. When he prayed to the Father that we would be one, so the world would know that the Father sent the Son and that the Father loves us just as much as he loves the Son. That our unity, our love for each other, would be the great witness bringing people to accept Christ's divinity and to open their hearts to the way God the Father was seeking to love them in his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, as we prepare to become one with the Lord in the greatest of all his works, so humbly transforming bread and wine to be his body and blood, so that he could fulfill that manna that Moses had interceded to give to the Jews in the desert, and come to us each day as our supersubstantial bread. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to hear John the Baptist pointing out anew, "Behold the Lamb of God." To accept this great work, not just of the transubstantiation of bread and wine, but the transubstantiation of men and women into the mystical body of Christ. To see how the verbum domini leads to the verbum caro factum est. To recognize that Moses longed for this day, and to hear the Father say to us as we prepare to behold and receive and become one with his Son, "Listen to